please, to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We were thinking of the Apostle Paul and his great desire to be at Rome to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Did he arrive? What did he do? Certainly the circumstances were not probably as he had originally planned. He'd planned to be a free agent and go on, stopping off in Rome, move off to Spain. Well, it wasn't to be like that. And here he arrives in Rome, and we'll find that he's able to make the best of the situation, to rise above difficult circumstances and even difficult Christians, and indeed move through and see the gospel preached and the saints helped. So we're looking, please, in chapter 28 of Acts and verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered aloud to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Then please, verse number 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Then please, into Philippians chapter 1. This is with the permission of our brother Tom, who won't mind, I hope, returning to Philippians 1, just to carry on our thoughts. And we're reading there, please, in verse number 12. Having prayed for them, most appropriately, now in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul returns to himself. And indeed, he wants to disabuse them of the thoughts that they had about him and the concern they had for the limitation of the gospel. But this is what he says. But I would have you understand, brethren, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and will rejoice. God surely will bless his word and help us to understand the thoughts that finish off these ideas we've been going through about Paul's planning, and indeed how he was able sometimes to detect the will of God easily, other times wondering and just waiting on the Lord, and just waiting for an opportunity and another door to open, doors having shut before. But eventually the Apostle Paul does get to Rome. Under the circumstances we read of here, he's not a free man. He's delivered here by the centurion to the captain of the guard, and here assigned to him every day in his own hired house is a soldier. He's chained to that soldier. It's something he feels. It's something exerts pressure and physical discomfort on him, if not pain. And yet, here he is. What's he going to do? Well, we're thinking about that. And the first thing we notice at the very end of Acts here is that the Apostle Paul is not limited, and that indeed the gospel is preached. So it says, he received all that came unto him. And we'll think about some of those visitors. And preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And indeed the Apostle Paul grasped every opportunity granted. And although there is a physical limitation, although he's not able to leave the hired house, he certainly wants to use every occasion for the gospel. Occasions will arise because although he can't go out through the door, others can come in. He's able to receive. And indeed, in doing so, as we read just earlier on, he's able to receive Jews and groups of Jews and tell them about the gospel, for them especially. And then he's not only preaching, he's teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't get out, can't go to assembly meetings. Very sad. But this isn't a limitation in that sense to preaching. And so every moment, every day is used as opportunities came. Well, it was with all confidence. With all confidence. Bear that in mind, please, as we turn now to Philippians chapter 1. So that's the background. Now, those indeed, it says, to receive whom he would, receiving all that came unto him. Two people unexpectedly came and visited the Apostle Paul. One here, indeed, this man, Epaphroditus, mentioned in Philippians. And he brought good news. Sadly, there was another man called Epaphras. He had come from Colossae and he brought bad news. Well, we're only thinking here about Philippians, and so we'll think about Epaphroditus. Paul was able to receive him, and he came along with good news from the assembly that, yes, they were concerned about him. There had been some limitation in their availability to collect and to send a gift. But now, indeed, that autumn, as it were, of opportunity had finished. And now their care for him was able to flourish again. There was a spring, as it were, not an Arab spring, but indeed a spring of opportunity. And the saints would use this. They made that collection, and they were able to send it off by this man, Epaphroditus, who came, as we've been told, at great risk to himself. This man indeed, who having got to Rome, Rome was not a healthy place to be. And Epaphroditus fell ill, very ill. He was nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and he recovered. Well, this is the background, and these are the things we want to think about, because the Apostle Paul eventually wanted to acknowledge the gift that was brought, and took the opportunity not only of filling out, as it were, an official receipt for what was sent. That was right and proper. You'll find that in chapter 4. But took the opportunity of describing the situation as it was here, as he found himself in Rome. And you'll find if you collect together all the personal pronouns in Philippi, in Philippians, I, me, my, myself, mine, all to do with Paul, you'll find that he speaks more in Philippians about himself than in any other writing that indeed we know about. So here is something very personal. Here's something where we see the heart of the apostle. We see the activities of the apostle. How indeed he does take those opportunities. How that thought he had, that desire, that great desire he'd had for many years, he was able to fulfill it, but not in the way that he'd imagined. Not in the way, for instance, he'd been there, for instance, in Athens, preaching in the marketplace, able to go up to Mars Hill, or in Ephesus, where he's able to have a hired room, that schoolroom that he was able to hire out in the afternoon for special gospel meetings. No, it wasn't to be. We might say, indeed, here were cottage meetings, because there could be nothing else. But what great days they were, and what great opportunities the apostle took. And so he's addressing that here now in Philippians 1. But to begin with, he knows. He knows the very thoughts of the Philippians and their great concern. And their thoughts were now, here is limitation. That dear man who'd move from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum. That great fertile crescent of gospel activity that he'd been engaged in. Roundabout. And the word, apparently, the phrase means almost an arc. Roundabout. And that's exactly, it all lies on an arc. There we are, Jerusalem, Antioch. And there, modern day Turkey, of course, and all the old words that we have in New Testament. Right across there, Macedonia. Right across northern Greece. And right up into Croatia, as we would say today. So, such a man, such opportunities, such activity that he describes. Indeed, it was in one sense a hindrance. That long-held thought he had to get to Rome. Well, now at last, because he was so busy before in the gospel. Doors were opening here, there, almost and everywhere. And it took a long time before eventually every door of opportunity had been gone through. And eventually, says the apostle now, having no more place in these parts. I've been everywhere that I could go. I've done everything that I could do. What a great thing to be able to say. Well, he had. And now, eventually, of course, because of circumstances, he arrives here in Rome, as we've said. So, he says, look, let me tell you about the situation. Let me tell you immediately that your thoughts, you've got it wrong. Whereas you think there's limitation, it turns out there's furtherance. Albeit, it's not easy. So he says, now brethren, but I would you should understand, I want you to know, I really want you to know, that you might be able to pray more intelligently and think about this more, indeed, more in line with as things were. That the things which happened unto me. Now, I know in that little phrase there, which happened, is not in the original text, and it's the things of me, my circumstances. My circumstances. But you know, humanly speaking, as you looked at this man, who before everything was at his liberty, he could go here and go there. He would seek the Lord's leading to see a door here, an opportunity there. But now, the door was closed, literally, on him. And he was within these four walls. And you might think the things that happened to him, outside his own control. But he's going to show us they're not outside God's control. God's still in control. And God will give opportunities and Paul will take them. And the good works that God has pre-prepared for him included being here in this own hired house. Not able to get out. Eventually he would be. Perhaps a year or so later. But here he is now. With that apparent limitation. But he shows us, no, it is not a limitation. Although things indeed have limited me here geographically, they have not stopped me spiritually. So the things which have fallen out, you know, the world looks on and say, well, it's just happened, you know. It's just chance. It's just a whole series of things that happened, and it's the mere consequence of the past. And it's all just summed up, and this is it. No, says Paul. It's not like that. The things which happened unto me, rather. Now he's, as it were, understanding and reading their minds. And why he says rather is because their minds thought the opposite. Rather, he says now, no. Rather, the furtherance of the gospel. Lovely word, this. The Apostle Paul loved borrowing words as appropriate. And if he'd looked out of the window of his own hired house, couldn't get through the door, but he'd look through the window, and he would see outside a lot of soldiers. We'll see in a moment where he is. He's in a place called the palace. Actually, this was the Praetorian, the headquarters in Rome of a Praetorian Guard. It was that section of Rome set apart to a part of the army. And he would have been to India. We'll find in some cities, especially Pune, quarters of the sections of the city set apart for the army. And the roads go through. And the people can go through. But they're under control of the army. And so here is exactly the same. Here, a cantonment in Rome. And here the army's in control. Here they live. And here they look after their prisoners. And here was the Apostle Paul. Right in the middle of it all. You look out of the window. He would see soldiers. And from time to time he'd see, for instance, pioneer corps. The people who go out. And they will open out a new area. They'll make a road, and behind them will come the army, the pioneer corps. This word here, apparently, this furtherance of the gospel, the word furtherance just means that, the pioneer corps. And he says, here I am in this little house, and it's turned out to be the furtherance of the gospel. It's a whole pioneer work. Why? We'll see in a moment. So he says now, here it is, the furtherance of the gospel. It's not limitation, but furtherance. Because of his attitude. It could have been. He was overwhelmed with difficult circumstances. And he just sat there and moped all day. Not at all. No, no. He says it's an opportunity. So indeed, here is a problem turned into an opportunity. It sounds like modern management speak. But here indeed is a problem. And yet it turns out to advantage. Furtherance of the gospel. So that, you see, there's a consequence. So that my bonds, can I change the word order slightly, please? My bonds are manifest to be in Christ in all this Praetorian Guard section of the city. They know. Remember Acts 28, a soldier. Remember a captain. Here were people, the soldier replaced day by day as their shifts came and went. Chained to the Apostle Paul. That man would come. And it turned out that although Paul was here captive, it turned out that Paul every day had a captive audience of at least one. Couldn't get away. The soldier. As he's preaching the kingdom, Christ, the gospel of Christ, to anybody there, He has a listener every day. That listener goes home, speaks to his family and friends and his colleagues. From time to time, the captain will come just to check up on everything. And there again, he will hear and see. And eventually, they learn outside that the man in this little house here is not a criminal, but a Christian. And the reason he's in chains is not because of crime, but because of Christ. My bonds, my chains are manifest, demonstrated publicly to be in Christ, in all the Praetorian Guard around here. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. And more than that, in all other places, word had got out. Paul couldn't get out, but word had got out. And so there were indeed those, no doubt, who had been saved. For instance, at the end of this very epistle, the apostle is able to say, "The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you." Not the saints of the assembly, he'd never been to get to the meeting yet. "All the saints salute you, but chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Why, the very people he'd been able to contact directly or indirectly. People who'd been saved. And here he is now, he'd seen that. So the gospel was preached. To preach the gospel to you at home also, he had. But he preached to people who under normal circumstances, what if he had been able to come freely on his way to Spain and have gospel meetings in marketplaces, open air meetings? Do you know the people who would have just walked past? Or the people who would have just turned away from a tract or an invitation to special meetings? Would be these very people, the Praetorian Guard. Because here, every one of them was an Italian citizen. No mercenaries. No foreign paid soldiers here. But every one of them very proud of what they were. Every one of them indeed there. Proud of the fact that this part of the army was also the very center of emperor worship. Here was people who said, "No thank you, we've got our own religion." Walked past. Wouldn't have gone to special meetings. Would not have stopped to listen to the gospel in the marketplace or whatever. But here now the gospel had come to them. And here are circumstances that have arisen. So that yes, the gospel was preached to a whole new group of people who under normal circumstances, shall we say, would never have heard the gospel. But they have. And they've heard it from their own kind. And word has got out about Paul's behavior here in chains. And why he's here. And people are saved. So, says Paul, there's been the furtherance of the gospel. First of all, because of the direct effect of what I've done, what I've said. That's important. But not only that. He says now, and, verse 14, many, literally, the majority of the brethren in the Lord, the assemblies of Rome. He says, growing in confidence in the Lord. Allow a word change, please. Growing in confidence in the Lord. Are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And apparently the expression here, speak the word, is almost to break silence. Circumstances had arisen as they did in Rome, where there was persecution. And indeed the opportunity came and they said, "Brethren, isn't it best that we just keep our heads down? That we just hold back in the gospel. That we don't go out into the open air. That we don't indeed be outward in the gospel. Just keep quiet. Just keep it in secret." Along comes the Apostle Paul. And here's a man, you know, if you'd ever said, "Well, Paul, now look," someone said, "look, now think about your own case. Just keep quiet. Just keep your head down. Because you're only giving more evidence to these people, to these Jews. So just you keep quiet." Well, you couldn't keep that man quiet. And so here he is now witnessing away. And word gets out of that. He'd never got to a gospel meeting, to an assembly meeting, to a breaking of bread. But word got out about his behavior. And the word that had got out, whereby people were saved, was that same effect that had got out and seen believers who indeed were holding back with the gospel, realizing, "No, we shouldn't be doing this." And encouraged by his behavior in bonds inside, they were beginning to think, "Yes, we too can have confidence in the Lord." Acts end with Paul preaching with all confidence. What are these doing? They're growing in confidence in the Lord, not in themselves. It was self that had held back, reluctant with the gospel. But now, growing in confidence in the Lord because of my bonds. They are much more bold. Speak the word without fear. That word confidence and bold is at the end of Acts. That's Paul's behavior inside. So now, there's an indirect effect about the gospel. And so not only, indeed, was Paul not able to get out and have gospel meetings, but the saints themselves were stirred up so that they too were witnessing. Now, isn't that good? Because of his behavior inside. Now, brethren and sisters, here are two challenges for us. Number one, if you and I end up in a situation, we didn't want to be like this. Maybe you'd end up in hospital or in a situation there. You wouldn't have chosen that. But you're with a group of people, maybe in your work even. They won't come to a gospel meeting. They've never darkened the door of a gospel meeting. But they see you. They see your witness. And indeed, as opportunity will arise, if they ask, you'll tell them about the gospel. You're not preaching to them every day and taking up work time, but you're there living in Christ in front of them. And when the opportunity arises, you're witnessing. And so indeed, that's Paul. But then, his very behavior becomes a stimulus to silent saints. And they begin to speak. And they grow in confidence in the Lord. And it's a process. Growing in confidence in the Lord by my bonds. They started off, yes, let's try this. And the confidence was growing. Paul, with all confidence. With boldness. But for them, it's growing. It's growing. They'll try this. Yes, it's okay. We'll try again. We'll do a little more. And they're growing in confidence in the Lord. They're looking to the Lord for strength to do this, to break silence. And so that's happening. That's happening. And yet, sadly, you know, so the Apostle Paul was able to rise above difficult circumstances. Now, we haven't got time to go into the details, but sadly, they were difficult Christians. Because outside, that majority of the brethren in the Lord, indeed, among them, you were able to detect two groups. He was. And he was able, on the one hand, to detect the group that loved him. The other group, they just were envious of the Apostle Paul. Now, we don't need to identify them as such, but they existed. And indeed, it might have been that the Apostle Paul, you know, if people don't like you, and people are not very kind to you, then sometimes your faith is hindered. Oh, the apostle knew what was happening. He knew. Didn't stop him. He's able to rise above not only difficult circumstances, difficult Christians. And so now he says, look, here's the state of things. They are preaching the gospel, not sincerely. And that's sad. Others, that's fine, out of love. But he says now, verse 18, what then? So what? So what? So what? I love that word, notwithstanding. He says, I know what's happening. I know all about it. You don't need to tell me, I know. Notwithstanding, but, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And you can almost see him saying, and nothing will stop me. Paul rejoices, and that becomes one of the great things, the highlights. Highlight of the Philippian epistle is joy and rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing. So, Paul's thoughts to get to Rome, his great desire these many years, was now fulfilled. He wanted to preach the gospel, he did. He wanted to help the saints, he had. And it all comes about because he was able to understand, appreciate how God was leading him, even through difficult circumstances, and helping him through those things. So he was able to hear, behave in confidence, boldness in the Lord, not looking to himself, and thereby able to see the gospel going out, able to see a good influence among the saints. So it had turned out well. You see, we need to just leave things with the Lord. Leave them with him. Yes, have your desire. Have your thoughts. Have your visions. And when it comes down to the detail, go all the way back to James. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Leave the details with God. Leave it for him. His place, his plan, his purpose, his timing. His timing. Don't rush. If the Lord closes the door, don't try to kick it open. Just move on and wait and watch. And like the Apostle Paul, being sensitive to circumstances and look for the Lord's leading. And surely he'll take you through and use you for his glory in his way, in his own time.